Hello, everyone, everywhere, and welcome to the Discipleship Decoded podcast, where we unpack what it means to walk with Jesus in every area of our lives. I'm your host, Malden Mitchell, and today we're diving into a topic that is at the very heart of the gospel, grace abundant, embracing God's unending mercy. Let's talk about it. Welcome to Discipleship Decoded, the podcast that offers a fresh perspective on spiritual growth. Discipleship is not just a practice, but it is a way of life. Our mission is to help you navigate this journey of faith. We're so excited that you've decided to join us. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when I felt like I've blown it. Like I messed up so badly that there is no way that God could ever forgive me, let alone still love me. But maybe you can relate. Maybe you're carrying the weight of your past mistakes, or you're struggling to break free from patterns of sin and shame. Well, I've got good news for you. No matter how far you've fallen, and no matter how much you've messed up, God's grace is bigger. His mercy is unending, and his love for you and me knows no bounds. The Apostle Paul puts it like this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift. So, my brothers and sisters, did you catch that? See, our salvation, our forgiveness, our redemption, it is all a gift of God's grace. We didn't earn it. We definitely don't deserve it. But God gives it to us freely and lavishes it on us abundantly. So how do we live in light of that truth? How do we embrace the unending mercy of God, and how do we extend that same grace to others? Well, that's what we're going to be exploring in today's episode. So get ready to be reminded of the depth and the breadth of God's love for you and be challenged to live out that love in every area of your life. Now, I know some of you may be thinking, Malden, I get it. That's God's grace and it is a gift, but how do I actually live it out? How do I let go of the guilt and the shame that I've been carrying for years? Great question. I'm glad you asked. So in this next segment, we're going to explore some of the practical ways that we can embrace God's grace and let it transform our lives from the inside out. Stay tuned. When I'm lost and feeling low, I lift my eyes above, cause in God's grace I find endless love.
Life, yeah, yeah, yeah. Guiding me through every storm, he holds me tight. I'm covered by his mercy, I'm washed in his grace. In heaven's embrace, I find my safe place. Yeah, yeah, yeah. In heaven's embrace, I find my safe place. Yeah. Guiding me through every storm, he holds me tight. I'm covered by his mercy, I'm washed in his grace. In heaven's embrace, I find my safe place.
All right, family, thank you for hanging in there with me. So, what I want to do is get real practical and not speak in theoretical terms. And so, when it comes to embracing God's grace, there are three key truths that we need to hold on to. First, that we are forgiven. Secondly, we are loved. And lastly, we are new creations in Christ. So let's unpack each of these and see how they can help us to live in the freedom and the abundance of God's grace. You know, first up, we are forgiven. When Jesus died on the cross, whether you know it or not, he took upon himself the punishment that we deserve for our sins. It's like going to court and all the evidence is against you and you are guilty, but the judge says that he wants to pay the price or take your punishment. See, Jesus has paid the price that we could never pay. And he offered us the forgiveness that we could never earn. So over in the book of Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 14 in the NASB version, Paul writes, "When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions and having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And so when we put our faith in Jesus, our sins are forgiven, our past, our present, and our future. You see, we are washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, and we are made right with God. But here's the thing. Receiving God's forgiveness isn't just a one-time event. The truth be told, we mess up every day. So it's a daily choice to live in the reality of that forgiveness, to let go of the guilt and the shame so that we can so easily move on, because that guilt and shame could definitely and easily entangle us. See, it's a daily choice to bring our sins before God, fall on our bended knees and confess them, and to repent. Now, repent does not mean just saying sorry, but repent is turning away, doing a 180 from the direction that you were going and to the right direction that you need to go. And when we do that, we receive the cleansing and the healing that Jesus has for us. So what does that look like? It might mean starting each day with a prayer of confession, acknowledging that the ways that you have fallen short and asking God for forgiveness and grace. Now, I want to say God's grace is not a get out of jail free card, meaning that we can live any kind of way haphazardly or willy nilly. But it does mean that when we come to him, that he will forgive us and that we are sorrowful and we hate our sin. So it means memorizing verses like 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 in the NASB, which says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous, so that he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it might mean sharing your struggles with a trusted friend, or a confidant, or a mentor, and asking them to pray with you and hold you accountable. And here is the beautiful thing, family. When we live in the reality of God's forgiveness, we find that it's not just our sins that are washed away, but our shame and our guilt as well. I venture to say that there's countless Christians, countless brothers and sisters in the faith that while they have asked God for forgiveness, they haven't forgiven themselves. And so we find that we can stand before God with our heads held high, not because of anything that we've done, but because of everything that Christ has done for us. Which brings us to the second truth. We are loved. And I know that the word love is thrown around. It almost has become a cliche. And so we're not talking about worldly love, but we're talking about the love of God. And so he loves us so much, we're not just tolerated, not just put up with, but deeply, passionately, and unconditionally, we are loved by God of the universe. You know, over in the Romans chapter 5, verse 8, in the NASB, Paul writes, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So think about that for a moment. While we were still sinners, still rebelling, still smoking, still drinking, still clubbing, whatever it is that we've done, rebelling against God, still running away from him, Christ died for us. He laid down his life for us, not because we were worthy of it, but because he loved us just that much. And that love doesn't stop at the cross, because over in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 through 19, Paul prays that we would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the height, the depth, and know the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. See, God's love for us is immeasurable. I mean, I don't care how vivid your imagination is, you can't even begin to unfathom what God and his love is for us. It is unending. See, it's a love that pursues us, transforms us, and fills us to overflowing. So what does that love look like in reality, or to live in that love in reality? It might mean taking some time each day to straight up, quietly sit in God's presence, to soak his love and his affection for you. It might mean surrounding yourself with reminders of God's love, verses written on post-it notes, maybe worship music playing in the background, pictures of God's creation that speaks to his beauty and his goodness. It might mean choosing to believe God's love for you, even on those days when you don't feel particularly loved. And I know we all have those moments. So are we forgiven? Are we loved? Yeah. But there's one more truth that we need to hold on to if we're going to embrace God's grace. And that is the truth that we are new creations in Christ. In this final segment, we're going to explore what it means to live out our new identity in Jesus Christ and to let his grace transform every area of our lives. We'll be right back. Don't you dare go away.
Yeah. Let me take a moment to reflect on his grace. God's love in my life can't be replaced. Through the highs and lows, he keeps me in my place. His mercy and forgiveness I can embrace. His grace, it's amazing how it's always there. Guiding my steps, showing me his. Through every storm, I know he's always near. His grace, my refuge from all my fears. Oh, yeah. Grace, his grace.
Yeah.
It's the one thing that I can't erase, yeah. In every situation, it's the saving grace. God's love and mercy is eternal embrace.
Are you still with us? Cool, because we're ready to land this plane. You see, when we put our faith in Jesus, we don't just get a clean slate. We get a whole new identity. We become new creations with a new purpose, a new destiny, and a new power to live out the life that God has called us to. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, which is a very popular verse, Paul states it like this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. The old things are passed away, and behold, new things have come. And so when we are in Christ, our old sinful nature is crucified. It is killed. It is annihilated. It is mortified with him. And we are raised to a new life in him. You know, we are no longer slaves to sin and death, but we are free to live in the abundance and the purpose that God has for us. But here's the thing. Living out that new identity isn't always easy. There are still old habits and old patterns of thinking that we have to unlearn. When we get saved, our spirit is rejuvenated, but our flesh is not. And so there are still temptations and struggles that we have to face. But the good news is that we don't have to face them alone. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us and empowering us and transforming us from the inside out. You know, in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul writes, "But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh." And when we learn to walk by the Spirit and to listen to his voice and to follow his leadings and also to depend on his strength and not our own strength. You know, I never understood when someone talks about a self-help book because I always felt like if I'm already screwed up, how can I look within myself to get unscrewed up? And so we have to rely and depend on his strength. And when we find that we have the power to overcome sin and to live out the righteousness that God has called us to only because the Holy Spirit empowers us. So what does this look like in practice? You know, it might seem like things are all in a ride, but when you calm yourself down, it might mean spending time each day in prayer and in the Word and asking the Holy Spirit to fill you afresh and to guide you in a way that you should go. It might mean that finding some community of believers who can encourage and challenge you in your walk with God, or it might mean taking steps of faith and obedience even when difficult or uncomfortable things happen and trusting God that his grace is sufficient for you. And here's the beautiful thing. As we learn to live out our new identity in Christ, we find out that grace doesn't just change us. It spills out of us and impacts the world around us. You know, at that point, we become conduits of God's love and his mercy, extending the same grace to others who have need of that grace. You know, I often say that everybody wants justice until you're the one that is guilty, and then you want mercy and justice as well. So we got to extend that same grace to others that we have received from Jesus. You know, over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, Paul writes, "Be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." And when you have experienced the lavish grace of God, we can't help but extend that grace to others. We become people of compassion, kindness, and forgiveness, and reflecting on the heart of Jesus to a world that so desperately needs it. And so here's the takeaway. Embracing God's grace isn't just about receiving his forgiveness and love for ourselves, but it's about letting that grace transform us from the inside out. It's about living out our new identity in Christ, walking by the Spirit, and extending grace to others in the same way that God has extended it to us. And so if you want to go deeper in God's understanding of grace, I encourage you to check out some resources that we have on our website. From devotionals to Bible studies to podcasts, we've got plenty of tools to help you embrace the unending mercy of God and live out your new identity in Christ. And if this episode has resonated with you, we'd love to hear your stories of how God has transformed your life. Leave us a comment, send us an email, or join in the conversation on social media using the hashtag #DiscipleshipDecoded. Your stories of grace and redemption encourage and inspire others who are on the same journey. Well, that's it for this episode of Discipleship Decoded. And as always, my prayer is that you will be overwhelmed by the depth, the breadth of God's love for you, and that you would embrace the unending mercy that he offers through Christ. Remember that no matter how far you have fallen, no matter how much you've messed up, God's grace is bigger. His love for you and I is unshakable, and his power to transform our lives is limitless. So keep pressing in, keep reaching out, keep holding on to the truth of who you are in Christ. You are forgiven, you are loved, and you are a new creation with a new purpose and with new power to live out the life that God has called you to. I love you, God loves you, and until next time, I'll see you on Discipleship Decoded. Take care. Thanks for joining us on Discipleship Decoded. We hope that you enjoyed our conversation on today. Remember that nurturing your spiritual growth is an ongoing process, and we hope that our conversation has encouraged and inspired you on your journey.